What I want to talk about tonight is you can't have your stew and eat it too, which is kind of funny. It rhymes, which I swore I'd never do that because I grew up in a pastor's home. See, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You'd see like those prophetic calendars, like More of Heaven in 2007, and Life is Great in 2008, Blow Your Mind in 2009 or whatever. And I was like, that is so cheesy. God didn't tell you that. That just rhymes. And I swore I was never going to do that, but I do it now. But I was asking Kevin what y'all been talking about, and he said, y'all have been talking about being the hands and feet of Jesus to the world, and that no matter how old you are, that you have the ability to impact the world around you. So what I want to talk about tonight is destiny and fulfilling everything that God has for you in your life. And I'm probably not going to stand behind this too much because it's so tall and I'm so short. It covers me up most of the way. But before we start, I want to have a quick survey here. How old are all of you? Just yell it out. Let me hear.
14.
so we're anywhere from like 13 to 17. Is that about right? Something like that. What's that? Yeah, 26-year-old. Well, did y'all know that a lot of the heroes in the Bible, a lot of the great exploits that were performed in the Bible were done by people your age and younger even? Yeah. One of my favorite characters in the Bible, King David, became a national hero at 17 years old. Is there anyone in here 17? At 17 years old, he became a national hero when he brought down Goliath and then cut off his head with his own sword. And people started singing songs in the streets about him, saying Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Our Samuel, I don't know if you are familiar with the story of Samuel, but he grew up, was raised by a priest, and at the most scholars believe around 13 or 14, God came to him and called him and said, from that point on, he entered his calling and he started becoming a prophet, a voice for God to Israel. He became one of the most influential men in all of Israel. He had the ear of all of Israel. Let's see who else we got here. Our Joseph, who was 17 years old, had a vision that he was going to be a great ruler and that he was going to rule an empire. He saw a vision of people bowing down to him. And at 17 years old, he went through a lot of hardships. However, that vision that he received at 17 years old came true when he started ruling over Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Our Esther, I have been reading some studies a lot about her, and most scholars believe that she was a teenager whenever she became queen, and whenever she interceded for the Jewish people in the kingdom and saved all of the Jewish people as a teenager. Our Ruth, who is one of the only four women in the Bible listed in the genealogy of Jesus, who because of her faithfulness and her decisions to honor her mother-in-law and do the right things, or make the right decisions and make Jehovah her God, she got to marry a wealthy landowner, and her family line ended up ushering in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords through her family. How many of you are in here 14? If you're 14, raise your hand. Let me see. Oh, we got several 14-year-olds. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, most scholars believe that she was 14 years old when she had Jesus. Yeah. Can you believe that? Can you imagine an angel coming to you at 14 and say, you are going to give birth to the Messiah, the Savior of the world? She was 14 years old. Like most of us can't even imagine. I can't imagine having a kid at my age, and I'm 24. And then imagine her at 14 years old, an angel came to her and said, you have found favor with the Lord. God didn't despise her because of her age. At 14 years old, she gave birth to Messiah. Why am I telling you this? I want you to understand in your mind that God never underestimates the profound capacity for greatness in young people. All throughout the Bible, if you study the Bible and the Scriptures, you see that over and over and over again, God chose young people to do very awesome, extraordinary things for His kingdom. Jeremiah was another prophet, and God came to him and said that before you were even formed in your womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah told him, said, oh God, I'm too young, I can't speak well. And God told him, don't say that you're too young. God never underestimates the profound capacity in young people for greatness. Did you know that 11 of the 12 disciples were teenagers when Jesus called them? 11 of them. 11 out of the 12 disciples were teenagers when Jesus called him. That means when Jesus ascended to heaven, that he left leadership of the future of the church in the hands of college age leadership. The future of the church was left in college age leadership when Jesus ascended to heaven.
Yes.
He wasn't scared to leave it in the hands. He understood the potential that young people have for greatness. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, phone out so I can watch the time. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." Now I want to focus on the part that says, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions. Notice he addresses the young people first. He doesn't address the old people. He says to the young people first, after pouring out his spirit, that his sons and daughters will prophesy, and his young men will see visions. When we encounter God's spirit, what does that say? When we encounter God's spirit as young people, God gives us vision. How many people in here already have a vision for your life that you know, that you feel like God has put a calling on your life, that you know that there's a vision and a dream in your heart that you want to accomplish? If you already know, raise your hand. Okay, we got a couple of people. How many people here are still waiting for God to reveal to them what it is God's vision is for that? All right, we got a lot of you. Awesome. I think part of the reason I'm here is because God wants to impart vision to you, to give you a dream, a passionate dream for your life. In our culture, so many times we teach young people that you get about high school age and college age, it's time to start thinking about your career, thinking about your future. So you decide on a career, decide something you want to do, you go to college, take the courses required to get the degree that you want so you can pursue your career. But I want you to understand that as a believer, as a Christian, it is not your right to decide what you want to do with your life. It's your responsibility to discover what God wants you to do with your life. And that is the most fulfilling, satisfying thing you could ever do anyways. God doesn't want to keep you from being happy. He knows what it's going to take to ultimately fulfill you and to satisfy you. And it's only His dream and fulfilling His plans for your life that can do that. I was telling you earlier about Jeremiah, how God told Jeremiah that before he was even born, He had already set him apart to be a prophet to the nations. Before he was even born. Now, that was not a special situation just for Jeremiah. That applies to all of us, because in Psalms chapter 139, verse 16, it says that God had written every day of your life down in His book before you were even born. God has a destiny and a purpose and a plan for you. He has already written every day of your life down in His book. He has a supernatural, divine, extraordinary life waiting for you if you will choose to step into that and embrace it. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God's plans are to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans for hope and a future. Our society and our culture doesn't want to place a lot of stock in young people. They don't want to take you seriously. They want to say, oh, they're just young people. They're not really called to do greatness or to greatness and to do great things right now. You know, they're just young. They're going to, you know, go to college, party it up, you know, because they only get to be young once. You got to make the most of it. But God's Bible says something completely opposite to that. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Get the word out, teach all these things, and don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Stay at your post, reading scripture, giving counsel, and teaching." So we see from this scripture, Paul tells Timothy, don't let people despise you because you're young, but be an example for them. We as young people are called to be an example for all the believers in the church, to be the measuring stick, to be the ones that are setting the pace in the church, to be the ones that are pioneering the trail, that are carving out the new standard for the body of Christ, for the entire body of Christ to follow. It is not a time just to shrug off your responsibilities, to shrug off your spiritual responsibilities. In Jewish culture, whenever you are 12 for a girl or 13 for a guy, you have your bar mitzvah, which basically what that means is that you become spiritually responsible for all of your own decisions to God. You answer to God for your decisions. It's no longer your parents' responsibility. It's like an age of accountability. They understand that being a young person is not just a time to shrug off your spiritual responsibilities and just live however you want to live. It's a time to get serious about God, to be an example, to be pioneering and blazing a trail for other people to follow. That is a universal call to all young people to be an example. I want everyone to close your eyes for just a second. I want to do something. I want you to imagine your life at 40, when you're 40 years old, and imagine accomplishing and imagine the best possible outcome at 40, that you've all everything you wanted to do, you've accomplished, you were successful at, you did. I want you to see that and accomplishing all your dreams. When you've got that in your mind, I want you to change that to envision that all those same things happening and accomplishing all those goals and doing all that in 3 years from now. See yourself doing that 3 years from now. All right, you can open your eyes. Now, why do I want you to do that? I want you to do that because so many times people think, oh, well, I'll do something great when I get old, when I'm older, when I've, you know, married, settled down, have kids. That's when I'll start doing great things for the kingdom of God. That's when I'll, you know, accomplish awesome things and, you know, make a name for myself. But God wants you to do great things right now while you're young. God has great, awesome plans and destiny for your life, awesome things that He wants you to accomplish right now. I remember when I was 12 years old, I used to tell everybody, man, when I grow up, I'm going to be a professional musician. When I grow up, I'm going to be a professional musician. I remember my parents would be giving me a hard time because I'd be complaining, or they weren't giving, I was giving them a hard time. I'd be complaining about not wanting to go to school, I'd be like, man, I don't want to go to school, school's so boring. And they'd be like, you better enjoy school because as soon as you're out of school, you're going to have to get a real job, and then you're really not going to like that. And they'd be like, not me, I'm going to love work because I'm going to be a professional musician. It's going to be awesome. And I used to tell everybody that. And nobody really took me seriously. Like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, everybody says that. Everybody wants to be a rock star or whatever. Always talking about wanting to do that. But when I was 21 or 22, I don't remember now which, I got to join a band that has had 15 top 10 singles, 7 number 1 singles, and has currently got a single out on the radio that's doing really well right now. I got to tour all across the nation, riding in tour buses, performing in a different city every night, playing in front of thousands of people, regularly performing on TV and radio. And that was something that I accomplished at 22 years old when it happened. And I remember I was talking to a guy on the phone one night, and he said, man, where are you at? What are you doing? I said, well, I just left this city. I just left this concert. And he's like, man, that's really cool that you're finally getting to live that dream that you had when you were 12. He said, nobody, I don't think anybody actually believed that it was ever going to happen to you, except for maybe yourself. And that there may be people in here that have a dream in your heart, something that you want to accomplish, but that you're embarrassed to even tell anybody about, because you know if you told them, they just laugh at you or make fun of you and think, oh, that's so unrealistic, you can't do that. That's never going to happen. But I want you to know God believes in you. The Bible says in Proverbs that as a man believes in his heart, so is he. That means that we are self-fulfilling prophecies. Whatever we believe about ourselves, whatever we believe that we're going to accomplish, whatever we believe that we're going to do, that will play out and become a reality in our lives because we'll live like it. We are today because of what we believed about ourselves yesterday. Whatever you believe about yourself, that is going to become the reality in your life. If you believe you're an alcoholic, guess what? You're going to be an alcoholic. If you believe that you're addicted to pornography and can't ever get free, guess what? You're going to be addicted to pornography and you're never going to get free. If you believe that you're going to be a great leader that accomplishes extraordinary exploits for God, guess what? You're going to do it and it's going to happen. So anybody in this room that has been told that your life's not going to amount to anything, anybody that you've ever told your dream to and they knocked it and they said, you can't do that, that dream's not going to become a reality in your life. It's not going to happen. It's a lie. I want you to know, I believe in you. God believes in you. You can do absolutely anything you set your mind to do. God believes in you. You can do it. I want you to envision the most awesome dream that you could possibly think of happening, and you think, oh, that could never really happen to me. It can happen to you. It will happen to you if you choose to follow God's path and God's plan for your life. I believe that in this room right now, there could be very well sitting the next Billy Graham that reaches millions of people for God. There could be the next sports or rock star that uses their influence to lead thousands of people to Jesus. There could be sitting in here the next world leader right here. I'm not talking about out there, right here, out of this group. I believe there could very well be millions of people represented by those of you that are just sitting right here. Because God wants to use you to do such extraordinary, amazing, blow-your-mind things in this world. And He will use you if you choose to make the right decision. And now I want to get to the whole point of my sermon, which is you're at a crossroads. You've got this awesome dream or these awesome goals for your life that you want to accomplish, and you have every ability to accomplish them. God wants you to. You are capable of greatness at your age, while you're young, not when you're 40, right now. But you have to choose God's way. I want to read a story to you. It starts in Genesis 25, chapter 29. Don't worry, guys. We're getting close to the end. In verse 29, it says, "One day Jacob was cooking a stew. Esau came in from the field, starved. Esau said to Jacob, 'Give me some of that red stew. I'm starved.' That's how he came to be called Edom," which means red. "Jacob said, 'Make me a trade. My stew for your rights as the firstborn.' Esau said, 'I'm starving. What good is a birthright if I'm dead?' Jacob said, 'First swear to me.' And he did it. On oath, Esau traded away his rights as the firstborn. Jacob gave him bread and the stew of lentils. He ate and drank, got up and left. That's how Esau shrugged off his rights as the firstborn." So here's what happened. Esau's out in the field. He's working. He's doing hard manual labor. He comes in. His brother Jacob has been making food, making supper. He sees it. Esau's like, "Man, I am starved. I'm so hungry. I've got to have a bowl of that stew." Jacob says, "All right, I'll give you a bowl if you'll trade me your birthright for it." Esau gets all melodramatic about it, and he's like, "Well, what good is a birthright if I'm dead? I'm gonna die if I don't get something to eat." Just being dramatic about it. So he trades his birthright for a bowl of stew. Now, we don't really understand what the word birthright. What a birthright, basically everything that he was going to become, everything about his future was wrapped up in this birthright. So he's basically trading his destiny for a bowl of stew. Esau chose to satisfy his flesh, gratify the desires of his flesh for a few moments, instead of embracing his destiny. He gave away his destiny because he wanted to satisfy his flesh. And you may be thinking, "That's retarded, man. I would not trade my entire destiny for a bowl of stew. That's retarded." But, I like that word, retarded. Yeah. But, however, while you may be saying, "I would never do that," there may be people in this room that are doing that. You've got compromise in your life. You've got these addictions in your life, these secret sins, these things that have been holding you back. And you've refused to give them to God. And you keep choosing to satisfy your selfish nature, to gratify your sinful nature. And choosing that sin, choosing that stew, choosing that compromise over your destiny. See, the thing is, Esau couldn't have his birthright and the stew too. It was one or the other. You cannot have your destiny and your compromise too. It's one or the other. You've got to make up your mind. What do you want? Now, it says in Romans 11:29 that God's gifts and call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. Another translation says that the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Now, I think Satan deceives a lot of people because they'll go to church and they'll lead worship, or they'll speak, or they'll pray for people, or they'll go to school and they'll witness, or they'll do outreaches and do good things, and sincere, legitimately good things. And that's because God is not an Indian giver. You may have, God has given you a dream, God has given you a gift, He's given you a call. He's not going to take that back, even if you're living in compromise. So you're still going to have a dribble of the anointing that you can work and do these great things, and do these good things for God in. However, the full measure of that anointing will be limited until you choose to get rid of the compromise. You will never be able to enter into the fullness of the greatness of your call until you choose to get rid of the compromise. And here's why. It's not because God is trying to punish you or get back at you for having sin in your life. It's not like that. It'd be like the same thing as if you don't get rid of that compromise, when you step onto the battlefield, that spiritual battlefield, if you have all the sin and addictions and compromise in your life, Satan is going to target that weak area in your life, and he's going to exploit it, and he's going to take you out like that as soon as you hit the battlefield. It'd be like going to the front lines of a combat zone to do hand-to-hand combat with a broken leg. It's just not going to work. You're going to get taken out. I want you to imagine like a a foundation that's got cracks and lines in it. It's unstable. It's not. It's just a weak foundation. And you hire a contractor. You said, "Hey, I want you to come build out this huge skyscraper. I've got these plans for this amazing building, this huge skyscraper. I want you to come build on that." And what's the contractor going to tell you? He's going to tell you, "No way, man. Your foundation is weak. As soon as I start building on that thing's going to crumble. As soon as I put any weight on that, that building's going to come down. It's not. You're not going to be able to hold it." It's the same thing with our lives. If we will focus on solidifying our foundation of character, on making sure that our foundation is strong and stable, then God will build on us however much we can support. However much weight we are able to withhold and we are able to support, God will give that to us. We can be as great as we want to be if we will choose to focus on our foundation of character and make sure that we have made ourselves stable to withhold the weighty things, the weighty callings of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21 says, "In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work." Notice that he says that there is gold and silver pots and that there are clay and wooden pots. Some of them are used for normal purposes. Some of them are used for special purposes. And it is the ones that cleanse themselves that get used for special purposes. And why am I telling you all this tonight? I'm telling you this because I believe that in this room, which we're wrapping up, I believe that there are special callings and purposes in all you guys' life. God wants to do extraordinary things with your life and wants to use you to literally reach millions of people. But it's going to be up to you whether or not you choose the stew or whether or not you choose the birthright. Are you going to choose your compromise? Are you going to choose God's destiny for your life? I want to read this whole passage to you from Jeremiah. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.' 'Alas, sovereign Lord,' I said, 'I do not know how to speak. I am too young.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you,' declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.'" Yeah, go ahead, man. I want you all to just bow your heads for a moment, if you would. I believe that there are many people in here right now that God is tugging on your heart and says, "I have called you to greatness. I have extraordinary things planned for your life. You are called to go beyond normal, to break the status quo, to do something so much greater than what everything that surrounds you, to step out of everything that surrounds you. But you're at a crossroad. You've got to make a decision. Am I going to choose God's plan, or am I going to choose my stew?" Maybe you're out there and you've been dealing with pornography, or maybe you've been sleeping around, or maybe you've been drinking, or maybe you've been dealing with an eating disorder, or maybe you've been dealing with lying or stealing, and there's been some sort of area in your life that you just haven't been able to fully hand over to God, that you've been hanging on to. But you're saying tonight, I don't want to let compromise rob me of my destiny. Now, I'm not going to call anybody to the front. I'm not going to point anybody out. But if you're out there and you're saying, "I've had these issues in my life, and I, you know, maybe you don't even know how to get free. Maybe you've tried everything you know to get free and nothing has worked. But you're saying, committing tonight, I am going to either get free of this or die trying. I want you to just raise your hand privately, just where nobody but me sees, so I can know that you're making the decision. Thank you. So I can know that you're making the decision, that you're going to choose God's great call for your life. Thank you. God wants to use you to do such amazing things, mind-blowing things. And I ask you, I'm just pleading with you tonight, don't let compromise rob you of your destiny. Enter into the fullness. I think there are some of you here that are tonight that may be at the brink of entering in to all that God wants you to do, to accomplishing all the great things that He has for your life. And you're at that point where you just got to make a decision. Which way am I going to go? So real quick, I'm going to count down from 10. If there's anyone else that wants to raise your hand, you can. 10, 9, 8. Thank you. Thank you. 7, 6. Thank you. 5. Thank you. 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, a lot of you raised your hands, and I appreciate that. You just made a bold decision to say that you're going to do whatever it takes to live in God's freedom. If you all just pray this prayer after me, say, Heavenly Father, in Acts 2:17, you said that you would pour your Spirit out on all flesh, and that you would give us visions. I ask that you would give me a vision for your plan for my life. A plan of greatness, an extraordinary life. And I ask that right now, that you would empower me to live the life worthy of my high calling in Christ Jesus. Give me the grace I need to live in all righteousness. I love you, Lord. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, awesome, guys. I believe that a lot of you made really a profound decision. Remember, that what I want to leave you with is, remember, you are capable of greatness right now. Not in the future, not after you're grown, not after you have kids, right now. And don't let anything rob you of that greatness. I believe you made the right decisions tonight.